We know of our God, how powerful He is and how able He is to take care of us, and we have nothing to fear, right, except our God. And so let's take advantage of that spiritual truth. You know, when you search the internet, you could spend countless hours finding websites that talk about success, how you can be a success in this world. And there's all kinds of ways to have success, and there are so many different, you know, short blurbs about what I would call the almost correct quotes concerning and attaining success. For example, some of those: winners are not born, they are self-made. Well, that's not true. And then we have this statement: success is peace of mind, which is a direct result of self-satisfaction in knowing you made the effort to become the best of which you are capable. Or how about success is getting what you want, happiness is wanting what you get. All, you know, they're kind of nice ditties and phrases, but they're powerless. You know, the last one is probably my favorite. There are three ways to ultimate success. The first way is to be kind. The second way, to be kind. The third way, to be kind. And you'll probably never guess who said that. Mr. Rogers. Good advice, but still falls short of what we would consider as true success. And there's all kinds of seminars and CDs and books written on the matter. There's just no end to the world's view of what success is. But I would tell you that the worldly kind of success falls this short of being actually true, because it lacks one thing. I'll bet you can guess who that is. It lacks Jesus Christ. It lacks the ability to give us what it takes to be spiritually successful. It lacks what we need in order to one day see the face of our God in heaven. It lacks what we need in order to be cleansed of our sins and made righteous through the blood. And without that goal, all types of successes just are futile waste of time. And so, why bother? All those quick quotes and ditties that are there, the self-help books, the seminars, that will never guide you to the real goal, the real success, the ability to return to your Maker. To Him only will you find the answer, the formula for success. Our lesson tonight, then, of course, is called Spiritual Success. And what we want to do together in the beginning here is we want to read out of the book of Joshua, chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 6 through 9. That'll be our base text for tonight. Joshua, chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And as you're looking there, I'll tell you that from this text, we're going to discuss seven spiritual rules that will guide us, if practiced, to spiritual success and eventually to a home in heaven with God. So let's look at that. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. God tells Joshua, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." Verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you, and do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so when we talk about spiritual success, starting at verse 6, he tells us that that building block, that stairway to success, begins with being strong. God tells Joshua, be strong. You know, strength in the right thing is necessary for God's children, for all God's children. All the servants of our Lord Jesus Christ need to have that strength. It is imperative that we're strong. In the first letter that Paul wrote to the saints in Corinth, toward the latter part of that letter, Paul writes this: watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Why do we need to be brave and be strong? You know, you consider that we're in a spiritual warfare, a spiritual battle for our own souls. So it stands to reason that God wants you to be strong. And Paul adds where that strength comes from. He says it comes from God. Finally, he says, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's where the strength comes from the power of the Lord. In his might, we can have strength. We can't have strength by ourselves, separated from God. He told Timothy, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So that's where our strength comes from. That's where we find the power of the Lord. The next step in this spiritual process, this spiritual success plan that God gives Joshua, is to be of good courage. You know, my daughter named my granddaughter after my mother. My mother's name was Otoria. And that name in Italian means strong like bull. And people, we need to be strong like bulls spiritually. Without courage, we would be useless to God. Without courage, we would have no strength. We would not be able to be strong. And you know, how many people struggle with this? You know, good question. When you think about it, without courage, what good is strength in the Lord? You know, if we're cowering down all the time, what good is it to have the strength of the Lord? How many people struggle with it? How many people are strong in their knowledge of the Bible, but they're afraid to talk to other people? They worry, they're fearful that they might fail, that they might not know an answer, and that nullifies the strength. God knew that Joshua needed more than just strength. He had to add courage to strength. And he did that for a reason. The people that Joshua were going to face, that he was going to face, you know, they would be violent people in some cases, trying to take his own life. And God knew that ahead of time. And so he told him not just to be strong, but to be of good courage. Peter adds the words, add to your faith virtue. And when you think about virtue, the word virtue implies courage by the way of virtuous course of thought, the feelings or actions that you have, the moral goodness that you have gives you courage. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ, is what Paul told Timothy. You know, Paul had courage. Paul had plenty of courage. And we can glean from what Paul did in the past, all the animosity that he faced, the scourgings and the beatings, the stoning, left for dead. You know, he had courage when he was arriving in Rome in Acts chapter 28, And at verse 15, you know, when Luke records the fact that when Paul saw these people coming to them, he thanked God, and because of that, he received courage. He took courage. So it isn't only from God that we get courage, but from one another as we support one another. We can help one another. You remember Daniel? There's no question that he had courage, right? You think of Daniel chapter 6, and when those governors and the administrators and satraps, I guess, you know, these counselors, advisors, they all get together and they establish this statute to get the king to sign this decree so that they knew David or Daniel would not be able to keep that. And they figured they would get him dead. They wanted him out of the way. And what did Daniel do? You remember in verse 10 of that chapter, Daniel didn't fear the Lord's decree. He took courage from God. It tells us that Daniel knew about the writing. He knew it was signed. He went home. He went to his upper room. He opened the windows towards Jerusalem, and he knelt down and prayed just like it was his tradition to do so. He took courage in the face of death even. So we need to take courage as Joshua did, as Paul did, as Peter did. We need to take courage. The third step that he gives us is to observe to do according to all the law. Sounds pretty simple. Joshua's commanded that. Nothing has changed since that day, I could tell you. That command echoes all the way through history. We're still commanded to do the same thing according to the law of Christ. And, you know, it is not Jesus the one who has all authority? Isn't he the one that has all authority and said, go into all the world and all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatever I commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always, even till the end of the age. You know, you back up and you think about verse 18, Jesus said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. And so we have the same kind of command. Nothing has changed. We should be like Cornelius and his household in Acts chapter 10 and verse 33. Remember Cornelius, he sent for Peter, and Peter came. And when Peter gets there, we hear those words, now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. That's what he said to Peter. We should be like that. That's what God wants. Be strong, be of good courage, and observe all the things that are commanded of God. What made Paul innocent of the blood of men? What was that? In Acts chapter 20, verse 26, Paul says, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. Wasn't it the fact that Paul never withheld anything back, nothing of God, even in the face of death? Therefore I testify to you, Paul said, that this day I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. See, he took courage, he was strong, and he observed to keep all the law of God. He held nothing back. We need to be like that. We need to be on this road, making our steps up towards heaven. We should repeat the words of the Apostle Peter. Now, therefore, we are all present. Or that was Peter. Peter and all the rest of the apostles in Acts chapter 5 and 29 is what I'm thinking of. There we go, 4:29. Do whatever your hand or your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. And that was after they were being threatened, after they were going to be beaten, thrown in prison. And they're asking God to let it continue. That is observing all things according to the law. Those words of Peter. The next spiritual step is to obey God and do not turn from the right or from the left. What is it that Joshua is commanded not to turn from, right or left? Is it not the word of God? Isn't that good advice for us today? Right? What saith the scriptures? Right? We listen and obey every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We search the scriptures daily to see if certain things are so. We study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing and handling the word of truth. That's what it meant to Joshua. That's what it means to us. It has never changed. And that implies that we can't change one word of God's word. We can't move a word here or there, remove a word here or there. It never changes. Listen, 40 years before Joshua, in the time of Moses, Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 4:2, "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord that I have commanded you." Nothing's changed. 430 some years later, Solomon himself, he wrote, "Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar." Think about that. In the New Testament, again, nothing's changed. "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth shall pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled," says Jesus. How about 2 John? It was only one chapter, but if you look at 2 John with me, beginning at verse 9. "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." Same thing. We abide in, we remain in, we hold fast to the teaching of Christ, and we change nothing. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, they say that, you know, anyone who changes any words in the prophecy of this book, we know bad things are going to happen. All the plagues of Egypt that are written in the book, that's all going to take place on that person. All the plagues will be added to him. So it's not a good idea to change anything. We don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand. Remember those words. "For assuredly I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass away, not one jot, one tittle will by no means pass from the law till it's all fulfilled." Is there any doubt in this that today turning away from God's word is a bad thing? And brothers and sisters, we have to be strong, and we have to take good courage, observe to do all the law, and don't turn from the right or the left according to that. We don't want to be in the number, the great number, of those who have fallen away from the faith, who are turning their ears over, their itching ears over to hear soft preaching. Teachers who flatter. So next, God instructs Joshua on how to maintain the kind of spiritual success. And when I say maintain, you know, you start at one point and you keep building up all the time. And you want to maintain what you've done. You don't want to forget about being strong, forget about being of good courage, forget about observing the law, all the law. Don't forget about not turning from right to the left. And you do that by meditating day and night. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, he says, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to what is written in the book. You know, to meditate, what does that mean? I actually looked that up on the internet, and the first bunch of things I got were to, you know, groan and make uttering sounds, and to sit in a position upright with your hands and your legs folded, and that kind of meditation that that they talk about all the time. But to meditate means to deeply focus one's mind on what's at hand, in this case, what's written in God's Word. Webster says it is to engage contemplation or have reflection, to focus one's thoughts on or reflect or ponder over, in this case, God's Word. So that's what it means to meditate. You think of the Psalm 1 and verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. That's the blessed man. You know, you turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Big psalm, but we're going to look at Psalm 119. And we're going to go to verse 97. 119, 97 to 99. Psalm 190. Listen to these words. Oh, how I love your word, or your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. You know, the psalmist here outlines some very powerful things that go along with meditation in God's Word. It makes us wiser than our enemies. It gives us more understanding than all our teachers. You know, as a man, you teach a lesson from God's Word, but God's Word is still teaching more powerfully than your lesson. Remember Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you go back there and look at that, just Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'm sure that you remember this. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7 through 9. These are the words that shall be in your heart. Verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Wow, that's pretty good. That's exactly what God wants Joshua to do. That's what God wants us to do. Nothing's changed. Write them on your heart. In other words, memorize them. And then meditate on them. Remember, the Word of God all by itself is power, but if it's not applied, it's useless. Moses wrote commandment to these, to do this, to their friends, their family, everybody along the way. Just always keep these words close. And most assuredly, this fifth step to spiritual success must be observed by all God's children. And so Joshua is getting some really powerful advice from God, or commandments from God, rather. And so if you want to enter into eternal life, we need to take these steps. The sixth spiritual step to the success, spiritual success, is don't be afraid. And I know that, you know, we connect the command of be of good courage here in the steps that God gives to Joshua to don't be afraid. It's fear that keeps the child of God from doing the will of God. Fear. Fear paralyzes. You know, they talk about what happens in when danger is presented your way, and you either fight or run, or fight or flee. I've always added a third. It's fight, flee, or freeze. That's when you get eaten by that lion that's chasing you. Fear keeps us from doing the will of God. Joshua would have never, he would have never been able to go in, cross that Jordan, lead the people the way that he did if he was fearful. The people were fearful. They didn't want to go over. They didn't want to face the enemy. They didn't quite understand how powerful God was and that all the battles were going to be won by God. And the same thing happens to the children of God today in the church. Fear can prevent us from success. It can prevent us from evangelizing and having confrontations with people on the outside. You know, sometimes the people out here are very loud and they're very boisterous and they're very, you know, kind of zealous in their approach. But we don't fear that. So will you live in fear? I pray not. Fear is what keeps us eventually from seeing the face of God. You remember the talents, the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25? What was that fella, what was it he said? He said, "I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." And remember, the point of that parable is we're all given talents. But what do we do with that talent? Does fear cause us to just dig a hole and bury our talent, spiritually speaking, in the ground? You remember what Jesus said about fear? Don't fear those who will kill the body, right? But they can't kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the body and the soul in hell. That's where our fear should be. That fear is a driving force, not a paralyzing force. That fear helps us to be strong, to have good courage, to observe all the laws of God, to turn not from the right or from the left, and it gives us the motivation to learn and meditate more and more on God's word. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. What happened to the coward in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 8? They took a part of the second death, the lake of fire and brimstone. The second death. Fear is just not an option for God's child, his children. And so we can't hide our talents. We can't cower down in fear. We have to stand up and be strong and of good courage. We don't want to live the coward's life. So the next and the final step, the seventh step, God tells Joshua, nor be dismayed. We sang a song about that. Why? Because God will take care of you, Joshua. Right? Webster defines dismayed as experiencing or showing feelings of alarm, concern, being afraid or being upset or being worried. The Hebrew word, it's a verb and it means to be shattered. You know, all my hopes are shattered, all my dreams are shattered, I'm so afraid. Things aren't working out. Paul told the Galatians, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due time, in due season, you will reap if you do not lose heart. If you do not lose heart. Think about the words of Isaiah. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like angels, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Strong words, something we all need to have in our arsenal, to be strong, to be of good courage, to observe, to do according to all the law, do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, to meditate day and night, and do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. You know, both of the texts that we just read, they have something in common. It's the idea of waiting on the Lord. You know, He will give you the strength, the courage, to do all according to the law, to not lose heart. But it's His strength. And that's the strength that Joshua would rely upon throughout his life. So we certainly have assurance of help from our great and our powerful God, our Lord Jesus Christ. All we have to do is wait on Him, trust in His power, His ability to keep us safe, to save our souls. You know, listen, remember, don't be dismayed, whate'er besides, God will take care of you. Wonderful song. You do these things daily in your life. And we think about what Joshua said. Be strong, be of good courage, be careful to observe, to do according to all the law. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Meditate day and night. Don't be afraid, and nor be dismayed. Again, Isaiah, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Think about those words. Don't be dismayed. Do the things daily that Joshua was commanded to do, that we're commanded to do. The Lord will be with you wherever you go. Well, there you have it. The lesson's yours. If you're not doing these things, I encourage you to meditate on these few verses, 6 through 9 in Joshua chapter 1. Begin that road of success. At the end of that road is true success, a relationship with Jesus Christ and God your Father through the obedience of His commands. And of course, if you're not doing that, you need to begin that journey today. There's no better time than today. Always wanting to extend the invitation, and that we know very well, that Jesus Christ came down from heaven, was born of a virgin, walked upon the earth among men, preaching the gospel, the good news. And He gave courage to at least those 11 in the beginning. Eventually, one fell away, and yet he was replaced by another, Saul. And that courage drove them to establish the church on the day of Pentecost, where Peter preached that first sermon to the same people who crucified the Lord, had Him crucified. Courage. Be strong. And if you have not been baptized, especially if someone's listening to this message, you need to be strong in the Word of the Lord. Meditate on the Word and learn what God said you must do to be saved, to hear and learn, to believe, to repent, to confess Jesus as your Savior and Lord, the Christ, the Son of God, and to be baptized into Christ. That's the gospel message. And of course, if we're off course, we need to repent. That's also part of the message and the invitation. So if you have any need whatsoever this night, please don't hesitate. Let's be on that road as quickly as we can as we stand and sing the song of invitation, 819.